With our service 11 seconds early. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21 says, "For even hereunto we are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again; when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Good to be in the Lord's house today. Look forward to seeing what Brother Chuck has for us. Brother Chris, would you open us in a word of prayer, please? You would, hymnal page number 256, "Look to the Lamb of God." Christ arose.
Thank you. He's right. I've practiced with it out, and it's a lot better if I stand on it. Ephesians chapter number 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5, as we stand together this evening. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And verse number 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. This evening we're going to look at the walk of the believer, the walk of the believer. Father, thank you so much for this day. And Lord, I thank you for each one that is here this evening. And I ask you would help us as we look at the three different kinds of walks that a believer must have. And I ask you would speak to our hearts, help us to be more like you. Thank you for your son. And thank you for the sacrifice that he made for us. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we considered the idea of this put off, put on motive that Paul here presents in chapter number 4 at the end, as we've considered the very stark contrast that an unbeliever has with the life of the believer, right? And because we are under new management, our lives are supposed to look different. And so we talked about concerning different things, about being honest and about giving charitably, and talking about having righteous anger that is temporary, and having words that are building up and edifying instead of ones that tear down. And we talked about letting all bitterness and wrath be put away from you, and instead to put on forgiveness. That's the life of a believer. That's the life that is very different from the life of an unbeliever. And that's the life that we're supposed to have, because that's who we are. We're children of God. We are children of light, as Paul says here in chapter number 5. And so he goes on then in chapter number 5, verse number 1, to give us another command here. In verse number 1, he says this: be therefore followers of God as dear children. Be followers of God as dear children. You know, I think about this, that and some of you may even relate to this, that are there not some fathers who are not worthy to be followed? I hate that that's the case, but that's the world that we live in. There are fathers that just, it wouldn't be good if we followed in their footsteps, right? It wouldn't be. But the fact is that God is a worthy father, and he's a perfect father, and he has the perfect attributes that we ought to follow after, to try to mimic, to try to relate into our lives and try to have those kinds of characteristics and the kind of nature that he desires for us. And so Paul says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. He gives us some examples. He gives us three walks that a believer is supposed to have as we try to follow God, as we try to look at him as our father, as our perfect example. And so, number one, we find the command here to walk in love, to walk in love. A walk is this. It's a continual and purposeful practice. That's what it is. Some people walk kind of haphazardly, right? You remember there was the phone app Pokemon Go, where people would walk pretty haphazardly, and they would run into things and fall off of cliffs and walk into the street. Why? Because they were not purposeful and they were not practicing in their walk, right? They just kind of did whatever they feel. But the life of the believer, the walk of the believer, is supposed to be continual and is supposed to be purposeful. Each step that we take is supposed to be what God desires for us to do. It's not supposed to be haphazardly. And so the first walk we see is the walk of love, the walk of love. And we find the example that Paul gives to us. He says, walk in love as Christ has loved us. And this is not something that is new to us, but it's hopefully not something that we ever forget. It may be preached on very often, but I hope that it is preached on often enough where it floods our thoughts, that we never forget that Christ loved us. But notice that Christ's love for us is not just some emotional sentiment, right? It's not just a fuzzy feeling that Jesus had for each one of us. That's not what it is. The walk of love here, he says in verse number 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. How did he love us? He hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. This is the love that Christ had for us. Not a sentiment, not an emotion, but it was a self-sacrifice. And not just a temporary sacrifice, but it was the biggest sacrifice he could give. He gave his own life for you and for me. And this is the love that we're supposed to have for one another. Not that we would, if it calls upon it, maybe, that we would give our lives for one another, but certainly we would try to give of ourselves as often as we can. Why? Because Christ gave everything for us. And so it just makes sense. It's reasonable service, as Romans chapter number 12 says. And so walk in love. How? Why? Because Christ loved us. And he himself was an offering to God. You don't have to look there. Hebrews chapter number 7, I want to read a verse to you really quickly. Hebrews chapter number 7. And I forgot to put my hangy-downy thing in Hebrews chapter 7, so give me a second. Hebrews chapter number 7, And verse number 27, we find this, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. We find that Jesus Christ's sacrifice was the greatest sacrifice, and that it ended all of the temporary sacrifices. And he only had to do it once for us. But it's not our job to only love people one time, right? It's a continual and purposeful practice that we would walk in love. The next step, hey, is this step love for one another? Is this step love for one another? Is this step one love for one another? That's how we're supposed to walk. It's purposeful and it's continual. Every step we take is supposed to be filtered through that idea that we would walk in love. We find in verse number 3 and 4 that Paul, as he does in this book and as well as other books, grabs another contrast where he says that the life of the believer is a walk of love, but the life of the unbeliever is a walk not of love, right? In verse number 3 and 4, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. We find that this life of the unbeliever is a life of hatred, right? It's a life of fornication, impure, quote unquote, love, right? That's what the Gentiles live. That's how they live. That's how the unbeliever lives. But the life of the believer is supposed to be in stark contrast. Not in fornication, not in uncleanness, not in covetousness, not in wanting and desiring things that are not ours, not in sexual impurity, but that we would love one another and sacrifice ourselves one for another. Why? Because that's what Christ did for you, and that's what Christ did for me. And so we find in verse number 4, a continuation there, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. We find that verse number 3, as becometh saints, and it's not convenient, it's kind of a parallel there. And what Paul is saying here is that this life of love, this life of pure love, that mimics the love that Christ had for us, that's what saints just do, right? That's what they do. It becometh saints. Are we saints? Okay, good. Yeah, I was hoping I wouldn't have to go back to verse number 1 of chapter 1 and re-preach that. I'd be glad to. So we're all saints, right? It's not something that we strive to be based on our works. It's just a position that God has given to all those that accept Him. And so because we are saints, then we have the responsibility to walk in love. It's not so that we can be saints, but because we are saints that we have that responsibility. But we find in verse number 5 and 6 that not all will accept this walk of love. Some will reject God. Verse number 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Unfortunately, there will be some that reject God. There will. And more unfortunately, really, and more accurately to say, most will reject God. And most have rejected God. And that's unfortunate, because God will judge them. And we find a lie that culture has tried to permeate into the minds of all of us, that a good God wouldn't judge, right? How many of you have heard that before? I'm sure you have. A good God wouldn't judge, but the fact is a good God has to judge. Because He is a judge, and if He wasn't a good judge, then He would do a bad job. And so He must answer the rejection in a way that matches His character. And so because people will reject Him, the wrath of God will be upon them. And so not to despair, that should push us to try to have more people not be children of disobedience. We should try to spread the word as much as we can that others might walk in love as we walk in love, that others might accept the love of Christ that we have accepted. And so some people will reject God. In verse number 7, we find this encouragement from Paul that we would be very careful of our associations, very careful of our associations. Look at verse 7. Be not ye, therefore, partakers with them. Why? For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we find number 1, the walk of love of a believer. Number 2, the walking in light. Walking in light as a believer. We find that Paul here, he encourages them to be careful of their associations. Why? Because of who God is, right? They're supposed to be following God. How can they follow somebody who's not following God and follow God at the same time? Can it happen? No, it sure can't. You can't follow two people at the same time. It seems like maybe Jesus said something about this in the Sermon on the Mount, right? That no man can serve two masters, right? For either he will hate the one and cling to the other, or else he will love the one and hate the other, You can't serve two masters, and so you can't follow God and follow those who are not following God. It doesn't work. And so we must be careful of our associations because of who God is, but also we must be careful of our associations because of who we are. Right? That's what Paul says in verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. You're a different person now. Why would you follow the same people if you're a different person? If you're a different person, follow different people. Be careful of your associations because you're not that person anymore. You're not a child of darkness. You're not a child of disobedience. You're not a child of wrath. And so walk in light. Why? Because you are a child of light. It's just who you are. And not to strive to be that, but because that's just our nature now. We've been given a new nature. We've been given a new man, so we must walk in light. Now, verse number 9 talks about the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then verse number 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He said, what kind of fruit are you producing? We talked about this in Sunday school, and so I'm sure that the teens need to hear this again. But what kind of fruit are you producing this evening? Are you producing the fruit of the unfruitful works of darkness? Or are you producing the fruit of the Spirit? Which one? What kind of orchard are you? That's the illustration that we used this morning in Sunday school. What kind of orchard are you? What kind of fruit have you been producing? Is it the fruit of love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance, and goodness, and righteousness, and truth? Is that the fruit that you're producing? Or the unfruitful works of darkness? The works of the flesh, as we find in Galatians chapter number 5. And so then verse number 10, we find also this, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Part of walking in the light is understanding what God desires for us. Proving what is acceptable. A lot of times teenagers will come to me, and maybe some adults have come to pastor and have said, they have said this question. Well, what's wrong with such and such action? What's wrong with such and such idea? But a better question is, and the teenager should know this, right? What's right with it, right? Not asking what's wrong with it, but asking what's right with it. Is this really what God desires? It's a higher standard. Because if it's what's wrong with it, that's up to us, right? But if we ask what's right with it, that's asking what does God think of this? And so we must retrain our thoughts to be careful of our associations, not only with our associations with people, but our associations with actions. The things that we do, the things that we associate with, are we careful of those things? Why? Because God desires that the children of light walk as children of light. And so walk as light. Verse number 12, for it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We find the future revealing of all things that would be sinful. And certainly there's some practical application that can be made that sin needs to be taken care of. It's not good to harbor sin. I understand that mercy covers a multitude of sins, but that's not the exact thing that we're talking about. We're talking about revealing things that are very damaging to people and could be hurtful to a body of believers, right? That's what Paul is speaking of. And so we must be careful of those things that our associations are pleasing to God, that we would walk as children of light. And so then we also find this, that we would not only walk in love, number two, that we would walk in light, but number three, can you guess it? Walk circumspectly, yeah. Well, keeping with the L's, walk looking around, right? Walk looking around. That's what circumspectly means, right? Circum, around, circumference, and then spect, like spectacles, looking around. And so walk looking around. Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 3 says this, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but as the simple pass on and are punished. A wise man is one that looks around, but not only looks around, but considers his circumstances and considers it and acts based on those considerations. Because the foolish man also sees what's going on, right? He sees the wickedness. The prudent man foreseeth evil and he hideth himself. He takes action based on what he saw. But the prudent man, he sees the same thing. He sees the evil, but he doesn't hide himself. And he causes much trouble for himself. And so we must be careful as we look around that we see the times that we live in. Right? We see the times that we live in, and we must have wisdom as we approach those things. Not just any kind of wisdom, but heavenly wisdom. Right? That's what the book of James talks about, that we would not have wisdom that comes from below, but that we had wisdom that comes from above. that is first pure and is peaceable and is gentle and has meekness in those things. And so we find that we're supposed to have wisdom. Parents, as you see this culture, do you see this culture and do you parent accordingly? Right? Do you guard your kids against the things that are happening in this world? The prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. And maybe by application we might say this, the prudent parent foreseeth evil and hides his kids from it. Okay, maybe not, I don't know. All right. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hides himself, but a foolish man seeth evil and is punished because of it. And so we find that we ought to walk looking around. Why? Because we don't have much time left. We don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of time with our kids. We don't have a lot of time with our friends. We don't have a lot of time with our church. We don't have a lot of time with our parents. We don't have a lot of time left. And so because of that, we must do everything that we can, that we would look around and that we would use heavenly wisdom, that we would walk in wisdom. Is this next step that I'm about to take full of wisdom? Is this step about that I'm about to take full of wisdom? Is this step I'm about to take full of light and full of righteousness? Is this step I'm about to take full of love that is sacrificial of myself for the benefit of others without selfish thought of return? The steps that we take, the walk that we live, the walk of a believer must be continual and it must be purposeful. Why? Because people are counting on us and we don't have much time left. And so we must redeem the time because the days are evil. And so I'd encourage you this evening, that you would look at your walk. Your walk as a believer. Is it a walk of love? How you treat other people, is it full of love? Not just a sentiment, but a sacrificial giving of yourself that helps other people. That you don't count on getting something in return. Is it a walk of love? But also, is your walk in life, is it a walk in light? Are you living according to the righteousness of God? Are you trying to live in such a way that your associations are taken care of, that you're careful of who and what you do, who you hang out with and what you do? Are you careful of those things? We're supposed to walk in light because that's who we are. We're children of light. But also, is your walk this evening, is your walk a walk of looking around? Do you have wisdom in your life? The way that you parent, the way that you handle your friends, the way that you handle your money, your finances, the way that you handle every aspect of life, is it full of heavenly wisdom? Is every step that you take wisdom? Because the prudent man foreseeth evil and he hideth himself. He takes care of it. Why? Because he's wise. And so I'd encourage you this evening that you would look at your walks. As we all stand together, as we'll bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. And Lord, I thank you so much that you loved us. And certainly we could have spent hour after hour after hour talking about just that simple fact. But Lord, based on that fact that you love us, you've encouraged us and you've really commanded us that we would have a walk that mirrors that love. And so I ask you, please help us this evening that we would walk, that our steps would be guided by the love that you had for us and the love that we're supposed to have for others. Father, I ask that you would help our walk, that we'd be full of righteousness, that it would be full of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, that it would not be full of the unfruitful works of darkness. And Lord, I also ask that you would help our walk to be that is of wisdom, of heavenly wisdom, not earthly wisdom that is sensual, but heavenly wisdom that is first peaceable and has meekness and gentleness. And Lord, I ask that you would help each one of us this evening that we would have a walk of a believer that follows you and that you would be honored and glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano begins to play, maybe you would say that your walk has not been what it ought to have been. Maybe you've not been walking in love. Each step that you take has not been guided by love or light or looking around or wisdom. So I'd encourage you, as Brother Jared sings verse number 1, I have decided to follow Jesus. Be followers of God as dear children.
No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, the world be. before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Ox is going to come and give us our announcements.
Got some announcements. The Lord's Supper is Tuesday night, November 23rd at 7. And there will be no night service week. And the Christmas mission offering is December 5th. And we'll be collecting money for the offering. And it'll be used for extra blessings for the missionaries sent out from our church. So you have a good Christmas. We have Brown Bag Sunday on December 5th. After the service, we'll meet here at 1:30 for an afternoon service, and then there's youth Christmas party on Thursday, December 9th at the Marino's house. There's no cost for the event, and it begins at 6, and we'll end around 8:30 p.m. The Christmas cantata is Saturday, December 11th, and Sunday evening at December 12th. And our as far as the Christmas week schedule, there's a midweek service will take place on Friday, December 24th at 5:30. We will not have Wednesday service that week, and our regular scheduled services on Sunday, December 26th. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come to your house, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for the word that we heard. Thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, and help us to walk wisely and circumspectly, Lord, and Lord, thank you for the time that we have. Lord, just help us be used for vessels for you, for your honor and glory. Lord, we love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.